Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Thursday afternoon, 5:30 on the VOC Nation. It's your boy Gartiz hanging with the man, Anthony.
Very happy.
Extremely happy, man, today. Anthony, wrapping up a very fun World Cup game with the USA advancing on. Do you believe we will win, Anthony?
What are we playing?
Oh, my God. The World Cup, soccer.
Sure.
Football.
Sure, we'll win.
That's what I'm talking about. America, funk yeah.
If I'm going to say it, you know it's true.
Because we are factual and accurate here on the Faces for Radio.
If anything, factivities and accuracy.
And gentlemen.
And gentlemanality.
Gentlemanalities.
Gentlemanalities. We don't have our stuff here, so I'll do my best to see if I can remember all of it. You can call into 855-VOC-NATION. I'm glad that we don't have to remember the number, and we can just say that. You can email us at facesforradioshow@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @facesforradio1. Or we also have a Facebook page, which is actually the best point of contact, which is Faces for Radio Show. Look for the happy little microphones, and you'll know you found the right place.
Yeah. So we're sitting here with shots in our hands, oh man.
All right, so we're going to toast to winning, I guess. All right, why not?
Okay. You know USA didn't actually win today, right?
No. Who won?
Germany won, but the USA was able to advance, which is what we're celebrating. Because now we're still in the tournament, and we still believe we can win the World Cup.
All right, let's celebrate Everybody Gets a Trophy Day.
Oh, this guy. Oh, my goodness. I don't think we have enough time in the show for me to explain this, how this works to you.
That's what it sounds like to me.
It's not that at all. Man, today's just going to be rough. You are angry and in a bad mood, and it's going to be one of those days.
Yeah, so let's drink the calming liqueur that I poured for us.
Oh, Jägermeister. Because so much good happens when you get bombed on Jäger and you're angry.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
I'll tell you, you know how everybody has, like, a particular liquor that just doesn't sit well with them. Like, usually, you know, I love my tequila, and I'll be like, hey, you guys want to drink some tequila? And everybody's like, oh, my God, I can't drink tequila because, like, I guess
I'm like that with vodka.
Well, Jaeger is mine.
Oh, sorry.
That's, so, I mean, I knew it was a special – I mean, and I knew you weren't really in a position for me to argue this with you today because I felt like you might try to slap me. So I was like, you know what, man? The man obviously is cursing and yelling at the world.
I used to drink Jägermeister by the bottle.
Yeah, I mean, so did I, but that's exactly how I got to the point where it went wrong.
One time I got one of those liter bottles, a big one.
You mean an extra large one?
Yeah, I guess. It's a Le Royale with Jaeger.
A liter of Jaeger.
So I drink the whole liter and blackout.
Yeah.
The next morning, I couldn't walk, and I had this hexagon on my knee. And I didn't know what it was from. It was just the shape of a hexagon on my knee. Terrible. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. I go to work. One of my buddies comes into work. He goes, man, I can't even walk, Mikey. And he goes, of course you can't walk. And I'm like, why? You know what happened? He's like, yeah. He's like, you were running full speed, not looking, and your knee went directly into a fire hydrant, and you did a full flip over it and landed on your ass.
Oh, my gosh. How did you not break your knee in half?
I may have. Who knows? I'm just a trooper.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I just... It's just... Yeah, Jaeger's just not my thing, man. But for you, buddy, if it'll make you feel better, we'll take another one if you want.
We're out.
Oh, sorry. Well, good. Woo, good thing I don't have to come through on that promise.
Well, you do have something else to do. I love when this comes on.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Faces for Radio on the VOC Nation is proud to present the Faces for Fame. Faces for Fame is our Hall of Fame, where we will induct and honor anything we feel deserves to be inducted and honored, strictly based on the criteria of us feeling like it. Over the last couple of weeks, we've introduced various wings of the Faces for Fame, including sports athletes and personalities.
And those nominees were Charles Barkley, Jim Rome, and Peter Rose.
Our second category was the category of film and cinema, movies for you unwashed masses.
With our nominees being True Romance, Belly, Ghostbusters, The Goonies, Kayfabe, The Game, and Seven.
And today, another category will be introduced and will be eligible for the prestige of being inducted into the first ever class of the Faces for Fame. And today, we will discuss the nominees for the wing category of inanimate objects. For those of you sitting back wondering what the hell we mean by this, it's quite simple. It just has to be an object that's not alive, that was used in some way, shape, or form to alter the course of history.
Like the shovel. I mean, like the hockey stick that Marty McSorley clocked that dude with.
Exactly. The stick would be the inanimate object.
The fire hydrant that destroyed my knee.
That would be a great object.
So, you want to just break right into the nominees? We have three of them.
Yes.
And two of them have to do with wrestling.
Of course they do. What other place in the world do inanimate objects get used more than wrestling?
Yeah, well, let's start with the most famous of wrestling inanimate objects, and that, of course, is the steel chair.
The now illegal steel chair.
Yes. Very sad. Oh, speaking of which, before we get into this, you know how we're going to talk about, we were at Raw for the second half for Raw this week. We're going to talk about the second half of the show. We actually did get on TV. You can't tell it's us, but you can see my silly green shirt. So you like know that's where we are.
Oh, and you can definitely see when I stand up during the Seth Rollins promo
and
start waving
your arms.
You can definitely see me. I definitely saw it.
So we're famous. Back to the steel chair, which also may be famous. Now, was there a specific chair in general?
Isn't it always been the same chair?
No.
No, not really. I think the steel chair in general deserves its just due. It's never going to get inducted. It never is going to get what it deserves, and I just thought of another one, wrestling-related, that'll trump all the other nominees.
So, all right. Well, before we do that, I'm down with the steel chair. So we might as well give it the stamp of approval when Gartiz is ready.
Well, that's what happens when you're not prepared for the show and the stamp is actually tucked away. But we're getting it out. So the steel chair will be stamped for approval. Nominees only become official nominees
once they
are stamped. If there is no stamp, you are not a nominee. So, the stamping is here we go. Found the stamp. Excellent. This is a fancy stamp, by the way.
I like it.
Yeah, the VOC Nation doesn't know that they paid for it out of the petty cash fund. But
sweet.
But don't tell them that. All right, and we are now Oh, did that even come?
That was a week. That was like the cluck, man.
Dude, what a piece of crap stamp. Hold on. Let's try this one more time because the steel chair deserves a solid stamping.
Better.
There we go. Now, steel chair, you are officially in.
All right. You said you had a second one.
I do.
So let's get into it, brother.
The Spanish announce table.
Oh, good one.
Is there an object that is more prominent at a pay-per-view than the Spanish announce table?
I don't know if I would say it's the most prominent object. However, if that object is in the arena, it's being used.
I mean, seriously, I'd say second to the ring itself, the Spanish announce table is probably where the best action always takes place.
Yeah, you're always waiting for it. And now Dean Ambrose. I feel like one of Dean Ambrose's moves is the run across the tables thing.
Dude, that guy just runs around like a knucklehead, man.
All right. Maybe.
He's got that whole cracked out James Dean thing going for him.
Yeah, Deuce, Domino, and Dean.
Yeah, the 3D.
Yeah. Okay,
there you go. So, are we nominating the Spanish announce table as part of the inanimate objects?
I feel like the Spanish announce table should be, yeah, it should be stamped, absolutely.
Should be stamped. All right, and so we will be stamping the Spanish announce table. Stupid freaking stamp.
I heard it.
There we go.
All right, you want to do the third one wrestling, or should we go away from wrestling, or do the one that's not wrestling last?
Let's vary it up and go non-wrestling related.
All right, so our third nominee is potentially my favorite nominee. And that is the shovel that cracked that teenager chick in the back of the head after the girl fight with all the club fists in the dome.
And for those of you who have been keeping up with the Faces for Radio show, we actually discussed this video. It might have been like a first or second episode.
No, what happened was, and this is one of those like Faces for Radio behind the scenes people are getting right now. What happened was it was the day that you were unable to do the show. You had to call in from parts unknown. And I did the first 10-minute segment about it, and it was god-awful. I was carrying junk. And luckily for the playback, somehow that 10 minutes just got cut off by the grace of radio.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So technically we didn't actually talk about it.
No.
Should we put a link onto it or our Facebook page so that people know what we're talking about?
Yeah, we definitely should.
Okay, we'll find it and put, but we'll get the short version. People don't need to see all 8 minutes. We need to get to the point of the shovel, which is the nominee, and his integral part in that whole scenario.
All right.
So definitely the shovel that cracked that chick across the skull is definitely going being nominated.
Yeah. I almost was tempted to nominate the first aid kit that was going to help her, but we'll just stick with the shovel.
And by first aid kit, you meant cold steaks and tap water, right? So are we stamping the shovel?
Absolutely.
All right, shovel, get in the stamp. All right, was that a good stamp?
That was a good stamp.
Awesome.
We have a caller on the line, and I think that what we'll do is we're going to go through our last nominee, and if the caller would like to wait, we'll take them afterwards.
Do you think this caller would have a possible nominee?
I would hope so. I hope that's what they're calling for.
I hope
there's nothing worse than when somebody calls the show and they're like, and we're like talking about like sports, and they're like, so, have you guys seen that episode of My Little Pony? Like, what are you talking about? What? Don't call and be like, your show is great, and then just start talking about something that has not. You obviously haven't been listening.
So, caller, if you're there, man, hang tight. If you got a nominee, man, go ahead. Hang tight. We'll get to you. And I'm assuming if the call drops between now and the time we finish the next nominee, it wasn't nominee related, and we'll get back to you.
Or their nominee is what the final nominee is, which I think is very possible.
I seriously doubt that.
I don't think so, because it's a wrestling we're not a wrestling show, but we're on a wrestling station. So anything wrestling related, people are into.
All right, cool. Well, let's go ahead and break out the last one then, so we can let them know what it is.
All right, well, the last object I would say is the most famous of all the objects. It's held the most weight in terms of changing the course of wrestling history.
Dude, it really did. And we'll talk about how it changed the course once we announce it.
And that nominee is the cattle prod that Scott Hall used on Goldberg in the Goldberg versus Kevin Nash match, which ended Goldberg's undefeated streak.
Now, I'll give you an interesting tidbit. I was there that night when that happened. That
was only two shows in Atlanta?
No, man. That was in Washington, D.C. They did a string of Starcades for about 4 or 5 years in Washington, D.C., and I went to just about all of them. And I was there at that one. So I actually got to see the cattle prod live and in person. It was actually really cool. But if you think about the historical impact of that cattle prod ended the streak, which gave Kevin Nash the world title. Kevin Nash on January the 4th, because that happened on in the end of December at Starcade. January 4th, Kevin Nash pulls the infamous finger poke of doom with Hulk Hogan that starts the downward spiral of WCW.
I watched a match the other night from WCW because somebody put it on Facebook. This guy, Mike Bessler, he writes for PWI. He's on this station once in a while on other shows.
Okay.
And he said that everybody needs to check out the Billy Kidman versus Hulk Hogan match.
Yeah.
From Starcade or from wherever it was from. And I watched it, and I was pretty impressed with it.
Well, I remember at the time thinking it was one of those things that people were like, wow, this is what Hogan can do if he actually decides to work with somebody who can work. And speaking of which, man, speaking of Hogan and working, I actually heard an interview a couple of days ago with Harley Race, of all people, one of the greatest of all time.
Agreed.
And he himself defended Hogan as a worker to just like the umpteenth degree about how good Hogan actually was once he was put in the position he was put in.
You know why Harley Race has no has no credibility in the field of putting people over?
I can't believe you just said that, but please explain to me why.
Because he said almost verbatim the same thing about David Batista.
Dude, Batista's not as bad as everyone makes him out to be.
All right, you're off the show.
I quit.
All right. Let's see if our caller has another number.
Oh, hold on. Before I get any calls.
Oh, we got a stamp.
So we're stamping the cattle prod used to end Goldberg's famous streak. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So that's four nominees.
All right.
Caller still on?
Caller is now live. Caller, are you with us?
Dude, did you see the new episode of My Little Pony?
I knew we shouldn't have taken this call.
God damn it.
You just made me very happy.
Ah, indeed. How the devil are you, gentlemen?
We're doing quite well. How are you?
Wonderful.
I am fantastic, and I do have a fifth inductee. If we're talking about inanimate objects, then I'd like to induct Bell's palsy.
Like, hold on, like the disease?
Yes, it makes your face inanimate. And we all remember how great Jim Ross is, even with Bell's palsy. So I think that should beat anyone else. Because Jim Ross, great announcer, with Bell's palsy. Half of his face has decided it doesn't want to do any work anymore. So Bell's palsy should get into the Hall of Fame.
You know what? I feel like we got to stamp it, man. This guy's got a good argument.
I really wish I would have heard it because my microphone cut out and I couldn't hear his argument, but I'll go back on playback. But if you say it's good, it's good, man.
I mean, I can't fight with him. He's right.
Is he correct?
I just don't get how it's an object. That's the only part I'm confused about.
It makes your face an inanimate object. Therefore, it goes in as an inanimate object. Your face tends to just go, meh, it's like a stroke, only different.
Like a stroke, only different. I like this guy.
Yeah, I like him too. What's your name, bud?
Yeah. My name is Phil. I'm from the UK, and I am an awful, awful human being.
You're from the UK? I thought you were Mexican.
Oh, where did you get Mexican from? I don't remember. I don't believe I said when I entered the call, hey Holmes, have you seen that new episode of My Little Pony? By the way, have you ever had your shit pushed in?
So hold on, are you actually in the UK?
Yes, I'm calling from the UK right now.
What time is it over there?
It is 10 to 11 in the evening, good sirs. I went out for a good night this evening and watched a couple of acoustic bands, and well, let's be honest, they're acoustic, so you're not expecting AC/DC. I don't expect Back in Black from Twang. Twangy twang, twangy twang. You know, at this point. This is a song about my emotions. Yeah, good for you. Get on with the rock. No, but it's about my emotions. I go, kill yourself.
So, hey, so do you guys have, like, do you have, like, a group of guys who actually get together and listen to the Faces for Radio? How'd you catch us, man? Like, how'd you get, I mean, we're all the way across the Atlantic. Like, how'd you get a hold of us? I'm really curious about this, actually.
Well, fact is, I've phoned into the VOC Nation before for the wrestling show, and with you guys, it was nice to see VOC Nation actually just doing a talk show that wasn't wrestling. So I kind of went, well, I'm going to put my stamp ahead, and may I ask, what are the limits to what you can say? Can you say four-letter expletives?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Sure, yeah, why not?
So can I say fuck?
Yeah, well, you just said it.
Just said it.
All right, then. In that case, can I say cunt?
Yeah. Well, I know, you're across the pond. That's a big word over there.
No, for us in the UK, we just turn around and go, ah, you big cunt. I believe that I called my mother a cunt just a couple of days ago, and she thought it was funny as hell.
So is that a word that's very frequently used? Because over here, it seems to be such a chastised word.
Yeah, it's a taboo over here.
Yeah, it's kind of a taboo. We're kind of sensitive over here. If you've heard our show before, we know we have issues with this.
No, with us, the only women who are really offended by it are militant feminists, and I take great pleasure in kind of going and freeing up my throat and going, you do know that you are a cunt. So,
oh my god,
that's awesome.
Phil, you have officially made our day, man. That was...
I think we may need, just because of Phil, I think we may need to have another Faces for Fame category of callers.
I think that we should start one. And Phil, you're definitely the first. Phil and that guy who accidentally called us a couple weeks ago thinking we were that other show.
Oh, that guy?
We just messed with him for like 10 minutes.
Mm. I've got a great story about the word cunt as well. I was playing a Texas Hold'em tournament in the local bar, and I basically just had bad hand after bad hand after bad hand after bad hand. And this was probably a couple of years ago, and I just kind of looked at the dealer and went, oh, no. And for the eighth time, I just kind of looked at the cards and went, oh, no, the cards are being cunts. Of course, this bull dyke turned around to me and said, what did you say? I said, the cards are being cunts. And she goes, don't use a C word around me. I said, I never used a C word. She said, you did. No, I never said the C word. I said, cunt. Which point she threatened to hit me, and at which point I said, well, you're a big enough bloke to handle it. I'll hit you back.
And how big was this lovely lady?
Oh, she was 5'2", but 300 pounds. She could take a kick in.
Hey, Phil, speaking of kicking, man, we opened the show talking about the World Cup. I know it might be a sensitive subject for you guys over there with the English football team. What do you feel about it, man?
With me, I don't care about football. I'm an MMA fan and a wrestling fan. So with me, and my only thing was, so guys, when do you think England's going to go out? And no one said the first round apart from me. And as soon as I heard they went out, I laughed my ass off. So it's really not a sensitive subject. The only sensitive thing about it is, what, you mean I can't masturbate over Wayne Rooney anymore? The short ass that looked like Shrek. Oh, diddums. Oh, I don't care.
You and Anthony would get along great. Because I think Anthony might be the only American now who's like, hey, man, did you see the game? And he was like, hey, you know we won. And he's like, won what? I was like, you know, the soccer game, the soccer over here for us. And he's like, I don't give a shit.
Right. I don't care about the England team, and my brother supports Holland. It's great. My brother, ever since childhood, has never supported England. He's always supported Holland. And in the first game Holland had against the world champion Spain, he told me, do you know that Holland beat the world champions 5-1? Oh, that's nice. Has everyone been punched in the face? Apparently, some guy called Suarez bit someone at some point. At that point, I just say, at that point, get the guy who he bit in a cage with him and let them just beat the fuck out of each other. It'd be fun.
So are you going back to the MMA thing? Are you name me a favorite fighter?
Favorite fighter at the moment. This is me thinking. It really is. It's one of those things where you just sit there. And it's really hard. I don't have a favorite fighter. I just look at the fighters in the fight and support them. Do you remember when Michael Bisping faced Dan Henderson?
Of course, UFC 100.
Yeah. I was a full Henderson guy at that point. I wanted to see Bisping get his face ripped in because he was such a cocky shit that I thought, how about the humble, quiet American beats up the gobshite, fucking limey asshole? I would love that. And he caved his fucking face in. Bisping was down.
You know what the best part about that is? You know the second punch when Bisping was already knocked down, he hit that flying punch?
Oh,
if you looked at his last shirt, his logo was the silhouette of him leaping to punch Bisping in the face when he was already unconscious. That's the greatest logo.
I know. I hate Michael Bisping with a vengeance. Oh, he represents England. Yeah, so what? He's a cock. Punch him in the face. And that's the thing. I am not patriotic by any means. I looked at Dan Henderson and said, please fuck him up. Please fuck him up royally. And that's what he went out and did. And Michael Bisping got his face shut down. And the thing that makes me so happy, I got so happy I almost masturbated, was hearing about the fact that if you look at Michael Bisping's record, if you look at all of the wins he's had in the UFC, none of those wins are against current UFC fighters. So all of the current roster can all turn around and go, all right, but what have you done for me lately?
It's scrub central.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the Count Michael Bisping. Well done. Would you like a medal?
Is the Count even like a rank of honor or something over there with you guys? Like, where does that come from?
Oh, no, he actually thinks he's the Count from Sesame Street. It means nothing to us. Yeah, you used to be a postman. Now you're a cunt.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody use the word cunt so often.
You know what it was? He just, basically what this guy did was he was adding the O. So he would think he wasn't being called that, and he was being called the Count, but he just changed it on his own.
I've got to say that. One thing that I truly love about the Americans, and it just had me in tears of laughter, is the fact that whenever Dan Henderson spoke, you heard him spoke, but whenever Michael Bisping spoke, even in the UK when we watched a pay-per-view, he had subtitles. His accent was so bad that it needed to be explained to Americans, and that in itself was just funny. I find myself muting my TV just to read the subtitles so I don't have to listen to his annoying voice. Yeah, I'm going to be a champion one day. I'm just going to go in and I'm going to beat him up because I'm a hard man. Yeah, well, Michael.
Phil, I can tell you right now that is officially the first time I've ever heard anyone from the UK make a mocking UK accent.
Now I have.
I feel like today is a good. I can hang up right now. I can hang this whole show up right now and be a happy man. Man.
All right, well, guys, I hate to cut us off, but we do have to take a commercial break.
All right.
So, Phil, thank you for calling in. Please call in again. It's awesome having you on.
Anytime, buddy. Really, it was a pleasure.
Mind if I stay on the show and just mute myself during the advert so I don't just.
No, I'll set you up right now for that.
F and A. Well, mute me and then bring me back in. Just anything you got to talk about, because at the moment I'm really trying to test my comedy chops, because I'm actually sitting down writing a 5-minute set to go and do open mic. Because I'm really... you know when you hear someone say, oh, he's so funny, he should go and be a stand-up comedian? I've had about 70 people tell me that since the start of the year, and it's only simply on the grounds that they're imagining what I would do to hecklers. Yeah.
Well, just so you know, man, you got our support. You're officially a face for radio, and man, thanks for the call, buddy. Good luck, best of luck with all that. Definitely let us know how that goes.
I'll hang on to the...
I think we lost them.
I feel like my mic is like cutting in and out.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know. All right, let's just take the commercial, and then we'll come back and we'll continue. All right, we'll figure out what's going on.
live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
RF Video is the world's leading distributor of pro wrestling merchandise and DVDs. They have over 5,000 wrestling titles to choose from your favorite wrestling promotions, WWE, TNA, ECW, and every wrestling promotion in between. RF Video is famous for their shoot interview series where they sit down with your favorite wrestlers from around the world, including the biggest names, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, just to name a few. RF Video has many other unique DVDs to offer, like their in-ring series, face-off DVDs, best-of DVDs with your favorite wrestlers from every promotion around the world. Check out their sister video on demand website, rfvideonow.com, or you can purchase any of RF Video's DVDs by going to rfvideo.com. Head there today.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Truth at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the N cloud and soar above your competition.
This is Becky Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
And we're back. About 6:05 Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, sir.
This is Anthony with my favorite co-host, Gartiz.
The one and only.
And if you've listened to the first half of the show, it got a little crazy, which was awesome. I think.
Yeah, it was great.
Having Phil on for a little bit was awesome. I hope we can get him back on another show.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to keep talking to people from the UK. They're fun, man.
Well, I found it funny that he was like saying how he liked our show because we don't talk wrestling, and the second half of this show we're going to be talking wrestling today, unfortunately, for Phil.
But don't worry, Phil, man. We're going to make it we're going to do it a little different. We're going to do a Faces for Radio style, and really strictly only because of the fact that Anthony and I this past Monday night. We're actually in attendance at Raw. And, you know, we're just going to talk about the whole night and the experience of what it was and some of the stuff going on as far as, like, the show and the wrestling. And I know Anthony has some things he needs to get off his chest towards the WWE.
Hated it. I hate the WWE.
And we're going to kind of do our thing, and we'll wrap up the show going that way, man. We might say some things that upset people, but that's just what we do.
Dude, can we just start and just flip out to begin?
If you feel like you need to get it out of the way before we can start.
I would like to, because I'm not going to be able to think about anything else.
Okay, fine, man. Get at it. Have at it.
All right. So I may go to house shows again. I may go to pay-per-views. But I will never, ever, ever go to a Monday Night Raw ever again, Gartiz. And I've been to a ton of them. This was hands down the worst one I've ever been to.
Okay, why was it? I enjoyed it. Why was it bad?
Because I felt like when you go and pay money, and you pay good money for a Raw. It's not like a house show where you pay $30 and get to watch wrestling for 2.5-3 hours. This is you pay $50-60+ for decent seats. For good seats, you're paying more to have about an hour and 45 minutes of entertainment and another hour and 15 minutes sitting in the dark watching commercials for crap that they want to sell you that they don't even sell in the arena.
Speaking of which, man, it was funny you mentioned that, because remember we went to the shop zone to try to pick up, you know, see what new shirts they got and see, try to kind of update the shirt, the wrestling shirt collection for the show. And it was literally just, it looked like somebody went apeshit with a highlighter all over everything.
Blew their nose all over the counter.
And it was just nothing but neon green Cena gear.
Well, John Cena sells the most merchandise, so we have to sell John Cena stuff. Well, maybe if we, when you went to the show, you had other options besides John Cena stuff, other things would sell as well.
There was a Gold Dust mask. There was a sheep mask. And I think there was that stupid Sheamus fake wig thing.
I hate Sheamus. I hate that guy. I seriously do. I hope he, I don't know, I hope he becomes full translucent and just kind of disappears.
That might have been the most politically correct way I think I've ever heard someone say that, what you just tried to say.
What, that he was really white?
No, no, just what you really wish would happen to him.
He would die?
Yeah. That's just a terrible thing to say.
I hate him. So, yeah, and I just felt like, you know, to sit there as a fan and pay good money, and the comparison I've used to you and I used to our other boy was that when you go to a baseball game, and, I mean, I hate baseball. Hate baseball. But at least when you go to a baseball game, in between innings, yeah, there might be commercials on for the people watching at home. But for us at the stadium, what do you get? You get the presidents running around the bases. You go to the Yankees stadium or Shea Stadium, you get to do the trains race and do that kind of stuff. So they do things to keep you entertained and you know, excited about the show. Here's what we got to do. We got to listen to a Wade Barrett intro, him walk down, then them shut off the music, play a silly-ass commercial, and then put the music back on in the middle like it never stopped, so that when the commercial came back, they were like, oh, well, he was just doing his entrance the whole time. No, he was staring blankly into the dark for about a minute and a half, folks.
That, it was actually worse with Jack Swagger and Seb Coulter.
Oh, my God.
They must have stood and... God bless those guys for their patience, because they literally stood in the dark in the same position like some statues for what seemed to be about 3.5 to 4 minutes from the moment they got introduced to the moment their opponent got introduced. Who did they wrestle that day?
And from the second it turns on, right, as soon as they come in, thank you for coming to the WWE show. Please notice that we can use your likeness in any way we please. You will not be compensated in any way just for being here. We own everything about you, and if you want to use your real name after this, Vince McMahon owns it. Vince McMahon now owns Faces for Radio because we went to the show on Monday.
Man, I don't think it's that serious.
I hate that guy.
Oh, you can't hate Vince McMahon.
I'm pretty done with wrestling. After Monday, I'm so disgusted with how they do. Oh, you guys are the fans. Like, you're the WWE Universe. We got to take care of you. But please make sure you're buying our crap nonstop. As soon as you walk in, we're going to be shoving it down your throat. And before we even have the main event, Gartiz, we're going to sell you tickets to the next Raw.
We did get a pretty cool pre-sale promo code.
What was it?
You know what? I wrote it down somewhere.
Raw in DC?
It might have been something like that, yeah.
Stupid. All right. I'm done.
You actually, before the show, when we were discussing this, you actually came up with an ultimatum, which I feel like I am going to need to hold you to next week when we come back, because next week it's going to happen one way or another. Can you please explain the ultimatum that you set for yourself?
I don't think I want to talk about the ultimatum.
Oh, no. If you don't, I'm doing it.
Well, I'm not agreeing to it because it's going to happen.
No, just say it. The people want to know, what's your ultimate I quit wrestling ultimatum will be, and the world needs to hear it.
There's more to it than just that.
But you said specifically, if XYZ happens.
If John Cena wins the title on Sunday, I'm going to be very upset. Let me extend.
Okay.
All right. If he then goes on to face Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, which by all posters indicates that he will, and he beats Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, I will officially be done with professional wrestling. All right?
Dude, you just extended your ultimatum from 7 days, or from what, 4 more days? For another 2 months.
Okay.
So let's say.
And what was the big deal? We're making Anthony say an ultimatum that he didn't even want to say. We're forcing him to do it on the air, and he's still saying it, but now we're going to chew him out because he's changing it a little bit.
No one's chewing you out. Stop being so sensitive about this.
Stop pointing.
No, you are.
Finger out.
The finger is out. And it is, by the way, it's a John Cena phone finger. $22.99. There goes the phone finger. There goes the whole merch stand.
It's all done.
So what happens then if... Weak-ass cluck. What happens then if John Cena wins Money in the Bank, which is possible, he's in the match, then goes on to SummerSlam, and let's say he goes up against Brock Lesnar, and Brock beats him.
Dude, to be honest with you, man,
You just don't care, do
I? Don't care, man. I don't even think I'll be watching it at SummerSlam at that point. I haven't missed a Raw since, like, 2004, and the past 3 weeks, I've barely turned it on.
Man, I haven't missed much.
I'm just kind of tired of it, man. I'm tired of them always, like, it's just so much crap, man. It's just so much, instead of me giving you fresh content, right, like us, do we sit here and now I'm going to, for the next 20 minutes, replay parts of the first segment over and over again to fill time because they can't freaking put on an extra match for the fans because I can't come up with something else to say to you? No, I'm not going to do that, man, because it's a cop-out. It's what losers do. The WWE is a loser company. You know why? Because what do losers do? They boast about themselves. Did you know, Gartiz, that Faces for Radio has had 10 consecutive episodes? No, we don't do that because we're not losers and we don't need to boast about ourselves. We don't go and do charity and then go spend a half an hour brushing our shoulders off to everybody that we did charity. Because the point of doing charity is to do it, not to show off that you did it.
Man, this is like really deep-rooted with you.
Dude, because they spend so much time of their product doing it, and then on top of everything else, they show hundreds of commercials through a 3-hour Raw. You know, you want to do all your boasting and all your crap? Take Raw off USA, put it on the network, take your commercial time, and use it that way.
Yeah, but commercials bring in money, and ultimately we're still a company.
They bring in their own money with all their freaking commercials.
Yeah, but nowhere near like the advertising bucks they get from other from the outside company.
And you know, you're probably right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm not going to sit there and deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. The next time I see a "Did you know," I'm going to vomit on the floor. Did you know that last week WWE had more pudding on television than Fox, ABC, and CBS combined?
They did have a lot of chocolate pudding.
But
we were sitting right next to
them. That's the crap that they do, dude.
But you got to – okay. In hindsight, is a crap yes. In the moment, you can't tell me that you weren't chanting chocolate pudding.
I'm not
with all of us in the section. When
I'm not. Yeah, but can we also say that I wasn't complaining really loud about how much time we were wasting doing nothing, and then other people in the crowd started agreeing and getting annoyed too?
You also yelled at how much you thought Xavier Woods sucked.
And the whole stage, which was awesome.
For those of you who, if you get a chance to watch Superstars, and I have no idea when it's on, so I don't know when it comes, but they were taping.
The main event?
I think it was Superstars.
Whatever Xavier Woods and R-Truth tag team.
I'm pretty sure they were taping Superstars, and Anthony looks at me and, you know, how much he despises Xavier Woods, and he tells me that as soon as it gets quiet, he is going to yell at the top of his lungs, Xavier Woods sucks. And just like that, the stadium gets quiet, and you just hear this booming voice yell, Xavier Woods sucks. To which Xavier Woods himself reacts and then proceeds to do all kinds of planches all over the top rope, almost kills himself, and I'm pretty sure it all had to do with the fact that this guy right here yelled at him that he sucked.
He does suck.
You just don't like him because he's not JTG.
No, I don't like him because he sucks. I liked Consequences Creed. That was a good gimmick. Xavier Woods' gimmick is like nerdy guy who likes comic books and wrestles.
You know what's crazy about Xavier Woods is that when he came in, they stole Brodus Clay's gimmick, gave it to him, gave him his girls, gave him the music, gave him the whole thing. Ditch Brodus Clay, who's a beast, by the way.
They should have changed the girls' names when they went to Xavier Woods. They should have been called the Funk-O-Wactyls.
And then just forgot about that, too. Then he stuck with R-Truth. God, I can't stand that guy, man.
I don't mind R-Truth. I don't like Xavier Woods.
What's up, Wood Sucks? What's up, Wood Sucks?
That was fun, too.
So let's get to the show, man.
Okay.
Let's talk about the show.
We don't have a lot of time left. We only have 13 minutes of show.
All right, cool. So we'll run through a couple things. What did you think about the first off, all right, so the show starts off with the Usos.
Let me just tell you what I liked.
Yeah, man, we can go through that. Yeah, we can go through
I like the first segment with Vicky Guerrero, because as you know, I've always said how much I like Vicky Guerrero. I always think she's one of the best heat attractors of all time. And I thought it was really cool because you could like tell, like if you know wrestling and you follow wrestling news, you knew for a while that she was planning on exiting. And I think it's really cool that they put her on that like pedestal, like a good guy at the end. And it wasn't even so much the segment that I liked so much as just how insane the crowd got during that segment. The crowd was crazy during the first segment.
Well, I know that our segment, the second she went off on her and yelled, excuse me, at the end of that segment, our whole cross-section went nuts.
Yeah.
Chanting Vicky, Vicky, Vicky. And so that was cool. And we were actually sitting right about maybe 7-8 rows up from the chocolate pit.
Yeah.
And they threw her in, so we got a perfect view of that whole scenario.
Up the poo-poo platter.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was. Because apparently on the show they were saying how much that stuff smelled.
Yeah, but it didn't. That's like when they have like the fire match or something, and JR's like, oh my God, I could smell the gasoline from here. It's like, there's no gasoline. Liar. Liar, JR.
Does he talk like that because of the Bell's palsy?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Phil.
So what about, and I know you and you love your politics, so I know you enjoyed Lana and Rusev's segments cracking on the United States, the government.
Here's why I didn't like that segment.
Oh my gosh. Why?
Because you got a good seat for that segment.
I did get to see Lana.
We were on the side of like exactly where the Titantron is. So anybody walking out, you didn't see him until they were on the ramp. Except for Gartiz, who out of all of us got the best seat, who lost his seat and then made up some sort of excuse to come back and sit in that seat later, which he thought he got so by so slick, as the other three of us are like, this guy just wants that seat.
Well, there was other reasons behind that we'll talk about later, why I wanted that particular seat back.
But anyways, I even say it to my wife, Lana's got the best legs in the on the planet right now. And the fact that I didn't get to see those live, that hurt.
I got to see them live.
Yeah,
they were worth every penny of that ticket.
The only other thing I liked on that show was the Ziggler-Barrett match.
Oh, hold on. Before we get to Ziggler and Barrett, you loved Bo Dallas.
Mm. Dude, but everything about that was because of Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas made everything about that segment great. And it's funny that, like, you read all these negative reports on him on the internet about it, because, dude, when he came out, the fans were not, like, they were like, this guy's such a loser. By the end of the match, you heard people cracking up laughing, like, legitimate laughing.
Dude, that Butterfinger line.
Oops.
Silly me, Butterfingers.
Now I'm 9 and Bo.
He's awesome, man. That guy's great, dude. So going back, you said, oh, we did get Seth Rollins and RVD. That was pretty good. You said you had never seen RVD live.
Yeah, and you know, I've been to a lot of wrestling, and I don't think I've ever seen him. I've even been to the ECW, like when it was at Hammerstein, and I don't think I've ever seen him there.
Really?
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty good match.
I mean, that was a pretty decent match. And you know why it was good? Because it didn't end in RVD fashion with that frog splash. He tried all that other kind of crap at the end, which was kind of
cool. Yeah, but then he got curb stomped, which was awesome.
Yeah,
it was the best finishing move ever.
It is pretty good.
I'm on the Seth Rollins bandwagon here.
If I made a finishing move, you know what it would be? It would be the most devastating finisher ever. You'd have to call it devastation. And it would be a power bomb that when you drop the guy on the power bomb, you break into a lunge. And just put the spine over the knee.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That would be devastating.
Hell yeah, son.
And going back to what you called the match of the night, which was Bad News Barrett versus Dolph Ziggler.
Would you say it wasn't the match of the night?
No, I said it was the match, which you called the match of the night.
Say that too?
No, it was the match of the night. It was pretty much the best match of the night. It was.
It had everybody on their feet. It had a lot of false finishes that was getting the crowd amped.
Yeah, but you know what, man? I might be the only one on the planet who will tell you that I can't buy into Dolph Ziggler.
I know, and I don't really get why.
He's a
douchey guy, because we met he was a jerk.
He's a solid – I gave him a solid – he was a solid B-plus player, to quote Stephanie McMahon. You said he was an A-minus, and I think you were judging extremely light on that one.
No.
Because
– he's incredible.
The guy, okay, when your best quality is your ability to sell an ass-whooping, you can't be a champion.
But then what he should essentially do is kind of act like he can't sell as good. Because everything else is good. His promos are good. He's good offensively. You can't say he's not good offensively. He's just a sick seller. He's just really good at it.
You know what I think it is? And I respect, because anybody who comes from his amateur background, he was a legit college wrestler and amateur. He was a beast, and I respect on that aspect.
You could tell just from the way he moves. And
Yeah. The dude's an amazing athlete. What I feel is I think he's stuck in this weird spot with this cool bad guy gimmick thing. Like, you can't be an arrogant
dude.
He's
not a bad guy, though.
But here's the thing. He hasn't changed his character. You can't be that arrogant show-off, I'm better than you, heel douchey type of guy he was. Then everybody buys into him and likes him. But then he can't really keep pushing that whole I'm better than you agenda because people like him. So he's kind of stuck in this I don't know what your deal is type of mode to me.
I kind of agree with you.
But like maybe if he changed it up a little bit, either if he went full
heel. But it's like everybody liked Stone Cold. And let's be honest, if you ever met Stone Cold, he'd give you a freaking stunner.
But see, Stone Cold is way cooler than Dolph.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
You can't even compare the two.
But I'm saying, like, you're saying, like, his thing is that he's, like, a bad guy, but he's a good guy. Well, so is Stone Cold. So is The Rock, to an extent.
No, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm saying he's just a douche. And it's hard to, like, get behind.
Yo, have you ever met Al Snow?
Nah.
Dude, you want to talk douchey, man.
Really?
Dude, we interviewed him on a show, one of the shows one time. Man. You would think this guy was like a 3-year world champion, the way he talks down to people who aren't in the wrestling business.
A lot of them do that, though.
I know.
A lot of them do that, especially to like people who want to interview and, you know, kind of want to, like, I mean, I can see from their perspective where you can probably deal with a lot of people who say no.
Oh, these guys want to interview me and promote me. Let me see how douchey I can be.
No, sometimes it happens. So speaking about wrestlers that are underused, and I was kind of disappointed about, was how about Damian Sandow?
Man, he is like the quintessential sad story of 2014.
He really is. You think about a year ago, that guy won Money in the Bank.
Huh?
And look where he is now, like doing parodies. Now, I have a theory.
That they're doing this?
I have a theory that they're doing this on purpose. to kind of like see how he is professionally and then kind of give him the green light and push him. But what bothers me about this is before they did this, they stripped away everything about him that made him unique and cool. Like his whole intellectual character, the way he held the mic, his pink tights that were so obnoxious. Next thing you know, he drops the robe. He starts talking on the mic like a regular dude. He gets away from the fact that he's smarter than the rest of us. He just becomes a bland dude.
And that's what they do with most of their guys.
What sucks is, though, is that that's when he starts putting on his awesome matches. He had a great match with Cena last year.
That match with Cena, and we've talked about this before, man. Cena, he's really good when it comes to, like, I don't know, man. There's something about him that, like, he comes off as he's a crappy wrestler. But, like, when push comes to shove, he's not that bad.
Dude, he's good. We've argued this 100 times off air. I honestly think the guy is – you don't have a 10-year run at the top of a company without being good.
I feel like if I sold the most merchandise in the company, I would have a 10-year run.
But, see, I think what people don't understand is in the same aspect of, like, Hogan, like, it gets to a point where they're more worried about longevity than coming out and having –
That's where the main event style of wrestling.
Yeah, then having these 5-star spot fests that gets everybody, like our boy Phil would say, get us all happy enough to masturbate, you know, about a match. But that shortens careers. And honestly, that doesn't keep the attention of the general population that keeps buying these tickets.
Watch ROH?
Occasionally, not really.
I watched, wow. But back in the day, they used to have this title. I don't even know if they still have it. And it was like a strictly wrestling title.
Pure wrestling title.
And it was one where you could have like 3 punches. You couldn't grab the ropes. There were like all these like rules to it, so it was just like a strict wrestling match. Those matches were not high impact. However, they were wrestling clinics, and they were 10 times more interesting than 90% of the main events you'll see in WWE.
But those type of matches are geared toward a particular niche audience that likes that.
I think that part of the problem is that WWE spreads itself too thin. They try to please everybody instead of remembering that they're a wrestling company.
But you know what? They're an entertainment company now. And when you become a publicly traded entertainment company, they have to entertain. And as much as you and I might sit and love those pure wrestling matches, a 10, 11, 12-year-old with his buddies and his friends aren't going to go buy the merchandise, buy the DVDs, buy the tickets to go sit and watch pure wrestling matches.
If you have a company that's a juggernaut like the WWE, we only have 2 minutes, so this is obviously not going to go as far as we think it's going to go.
Okay.
But if you have a juggernaut company, why do you have to put all that crap together? Why can't you have a wrestling show, a funny show, an entertainment show, a talk show, and somehow blend them in a way that you do it instead of putting everything in a hodgepodge every night? They have TV time everywhere. I bet you we turn on, went through all the channels right now, we'd find something WWE on. But it's always the same type of show. Couple matches, couple promos, lots of recaps.
There's a lot of recaps, man. That is kind of annoying. It's like, dude, I just sat and watched the first hour of your show. I don't need you to tell me again. But at the same time, they're looking at it as, hey, you know what? People are coming in. We got to get them up to speed.
Well, you know what? There's other ways to do that. You don't need to show 3.5 minutes of a segment.
Yeah. Seems like a topic that we can get into at some other time if the Faces for Radio is a wrestling show.
Yeah. Too bad it's not.
So we may not talk wrestling again until next week when we'll see what happened with John Cena and how much wrestling you're going to be watching from here on out.
Well, that's what we need to talk about real quick. Are we definitely having a show next week?
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
That is July 3rd.
Yeah.
And we may all be on vacation at that point.
Well, we'll figure that out during the week.
So we may or may not have a show. Stay connected to Facebook. Hey, Phil, if you're listening, join the Facebook page. Faces for Radio Show. Anybody else, if you're not on that yet, get on it, man. It's a good place to hang out, talk nonsense. Faces for Radio Show. We're going to have the shovel clip up there if you haven't seen it yet. Old and fake. That's fake. So we're going to put that up. You guys can check it out. Next time we do Faces for Fame, what's our category going to be, brother?
That's an excellent question. I have no clue.
Oh, very interesting.
You think I would have been on top of this, right?
We're not. And you know what? We don't have enough time for me to open up the program with the Faces for Fame stuff on it. So
we'll put it on the Facebook page?
check it out.
If not, then we'll just talk about it next week as we go.
All right, so we have 20 seconds. Guys, if we are not here next week, have a happy 4th of July, or for anyone not in America, have a good weekend.
America.
And, yeah, if the gimmick's not working,
change the gimmick.